Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Bava Basra Daf Kavches. We begin a new perek, Yesh Neichlin, discussing the halachos, the laws of inheritance. So before we begin, let's take a look at the pasuk in Bamidbar, perek Chav Zayin, beginning with pasuk Ches. Ish kuyamus. When one passes away, you ben in loy without leaving a son behind. V'havartem es nachlosei libito, you meant to transfer his assets, his estate, his inheritance to his daughter. Son first, and then second comes daughter. Now, if there's no daughter, v'im ein loy bas, next in line is the deceased's brothers. V'nosatem es nachlosei le'echav. V'im ein loy achem, if he has no brothers, the pasuk continues, and Misatem Snachlosa Lachay Aviv, give it to his father's brothers, his uncle. Im Ein Achim L'Aviv, if there are no uncles, and Misatem Snachlosa L'Sheiroi, Hakarev Elov, Mishpachtoi, V'Yorasha Yisa. Now, next to the line is somebody called Sheiroi. Who is Sheiroi? We'll discuss that in the Gemara. Sheiroi Hakarev Elov, and the Gemara learns from the word Hakarev, the extra hey, denotes closeness. Closeness is a determining factor, meaning the closer the relationship, the higher ranking the relative will be with reference to accessing the inheritance of the mace. So the closer a person is, the higher on the list. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Neichelin Umanchilin. We have a total of four categories with reference to different types of relatives and their Yerusha status. We have some where the Yerusha goes two ways, both ways. Neichelin means you give the inheritance. Neichelin means you take an inheritance. You are Yoyrish that person. Umanchilin means you give your inheritance to that person. So it's a two-way street. It's a close relationship, like, father and a son. The Yerusha goes both ways. Right? The transfer can happen both ways. The son is Yoyrish from his father. He's Neichel. And likewise, if he passes away and there's nobody else around in terms of his children, he is manchal to the father. He gives his inheritance to his father. So this denotes the closest form of relationship, the closest form of Yerusha. So it's a two-way street. Next category is v'yesh neichelin. In some cases, the relative will only receive a Yerusha from that other relative. V'loy manchilin, but will not give his inheritance to that person upon his passing. Likewise, we have manchilin v'loy nechalin. You give and you don't take, which is pretty much the flip side. It's the other side of this coin, right? So, nechalin v'loy manchilin ends off with manchilin v'loy nechalin on the other side of the equation, right? Right. So this relative will only take and not give, and the relative who's giving this person will only give and not take, right? So that covers another two categories. V'yesh nechalin v'loy manchilin, manchilin v'loy nechalin. And finally, we have relatives that are, although related, but they're not connected through their father's side, which is really what's considered mishpacha, true mishpacha, certainly with respect to Yerusha, and therefore they are loy noichalin v'loy manchilin. These relatives do not accept or give Yerusha to each other. Okay, let's go back to category number one. V'elu noichalin u'manchilin, in some cases, you take and you give. Ha'aves habanu, a father with respect to his sons. So he will be noichel from them upon their passing, in the event that they didn't leave any offspring behind, and likewise, he will be manchel to them. If father passes on, the kids are yerush the father. V'abanim asa'av, and likewise, banim with respect to their father. They take and they give. V'achem ina'av, thirdly, brothers who share a father, right? So the Yerusha will be transferred back and forth. Right? In the absence of their own kids, it will go on from brother to brother. Noichalin u'manchilin, they take and they give to each other. So this covers the first level. A two-way Yerusha, noichalin u'manchilin. Ha'isha seimoi. However, a man with respect to his mother, he will only get from her, but he will not provide for her. Because if she has something, he is Yerush that. But if he has something, she cannot be Yerush, his Yerusha, because it goes to his father's side, who are the true Yerushim. Va'ishas imay. A man with Va'ishas ishtay. right? A man with respect to his own wife. He's Yerush her, but she's not Yerush him. Ubnei Achayos. Sons of sisters, meaning a nephew. So you have two sisters who share a father, right? So if one sister passes away, in the event that there's no closer relative, it goes to her sister, and eventually it can be transferred to her own son. So it goes that way, but it doesn't go back, because as we explained, when the son passes on, even during his mother's lifetime, it will not go to his mother. So Ibn Achayas, Onoi Chalin, Velam Echalin, in all these cases, they just take. They're takers, not givers. So the three examples were man with his Hayish as Imoi, with his mother. He takes but does not give her. So on the flip side, she will only give and not take. And that's going to be the next category. Hayish as Ishtoi, he takes from her but does not provide for her. In terms of Yerusha, of course, he owes her the Ksuba and everything else, but technically the actual Yerusha goes to his family, to his side, his father's side. And then you have Bnei Achayos, a nephew. In terms of his aunt's assets, theoretically, he can take it. He can take delivery of that, but he cannot give it. He cannot provide his own Yerusha to her. So that takes us to the next category, which is Ha'isha Esponeha. A mother with respect to her sons, she'll give them but not take, as we explained. Ha'isha Va'isha Esbala, a wife with her husband, she'll provide but will not receive. Va'achya'im, these nephews, Manchilin V'lenechalin, all these will provide but will not receive inheritance, which is pretty much the flip side of the previous clause, right? It's just the person on the other end. And finally, we have relatives who are non-Yerusha related. V'achim v'na'im, brothers who only share a mother. They're disconnected in terms of Yerusha. Lo yinechalin v'lo menchilin, they do not receive, nor do they provide for each other. So in the first, we have the Av and the Bonim. A father with his kids. He is Noichel and Manchel. He can inherit theirs, and he can provide his to them. Question is, why does the Mishnah begin with a reference to a father inheriting the kids? Ma'ishna diktoni ha'aves abon, my father who receives Yerusha from the kid, which means that the child died during his lifetime. Why do we go into that first? Ma'ishna diktoni ha'aves habon bereisha, why is that the first example? Wouldn't it be more proper, listen, it should say Habonim is the operation. The first example should be the Bonim Yerush, the father. For two reasons. First of all, Chada, Das Chuli Bipur Anusalem Es Chlinan, we typically try to avoid starting off by referencing tragedies. And typically, natural course of events is that a child outlives his father. And Rashbam brings a pasuk that Yosef was promised, Yosef, Yoshis, Yodel Enecho. Yaakov was promised that Yosef will see him off, right? Hiftichu, Sheik, Beru, Bon, Benoi, that his son, his sons will be involved in burying him. Basically, they'll outlive him. That's the way it's meant to be. So why would we start with a reference to a father who buries his son. Void. Furthermore, we should be following the Seder, the order, found in the Psukim of Yerusha, where, in fact, a son being Yerusha's father is the first point of reference, the first on the list. Kedechsiv, Ish ki yomos, right? Ubein ein lo. Person dies, and he has no son, because if he were, the son would get it first. So if the parsha of Nachla, the parsha of Yerusha and the Torah, begins with this example, wouldn't the Mishnah do the same? Answers the Gemara V'tana. No, our Tana, our Mishnah chose to go the other way. Aidi de Asile Midrasha. Since this halacha that a father is Yerusha's son is not a clear-cut pasuk. It's learned from a drasha. It's derived from the Psukim, and therefore it's Chavivale. It carries an extra dearness to it. It's something which was toiled on and worked on and produced by effort of Liman HaTorah, and therefore, the Gemara here says, the Gemara in Yevamos says the same thing many times, that the halacha, which was derived from effort, from drasha, is more chaviv. Because if you look at the psukim, there's no clear reference to a father being Yerush, taking Yerush from his son. Umay drasha. So what is the drasha? Meaning, in fact, where do we know this from? The Sani, we have a brisa. So as we mentioned before, yeah, the pasuk doesn't make a direct reference to a father being Yerush, but there is a lashon called She'eroi, which is a bit ambiguous. Who is it referring to? The Sani She'eroi? Zeha'av, that's the father. And the Rashbam brings two psukim, She'eroi v'yichahu, and She'eroi akarev elof limud aviv, so the father is She'eroi. Right? She'eroi is a lashon of basar, right? Because the son is an offspring of the father, it's the pretty much, you know, the closest relationship. So when the pasuk speaks about She'eroi having the schus to be Yerush, it's the father. Now, although the word She'eroi is actually at the very end of the list, first we have a reference to the son, to the daughter, to the brother, to the uncle, and then She'eroi. So the Rashbam and the Gemara soon will explain that according to this Tana, the psukim are sort of out of order. How do we know? Because there's a pasuk which says Hakarev Elof. Hakarev means the closer one. The Zechus Yerusha is determined. The slot on this Yerusha ladder, the hierarchy, so to speak, is determined by closeness. The closer the relationship to the deceased, the greater Zechus Yerusha one has. Hakarev, Karev Koidim, we'll see in a minute. So therefore we assume father is not meant to be at the very end, the very tail end of this system. I mean, you can't get much closer than a father. So he must be bumped up. He's got to be closer to the top. Now, how close? We'll see in a minute. The Gemara will tell us that actually son and daughter precede the father. So it's son, daughter, and then comes father, then the brothers of the mace, and then the brothers of the father. That's the way it's going to be. So father is number three. The son is She'eroi, that's the father. It's Av Malamed. We learn from here, She'av Kodim La'achim. Father comes before the brothers of the mace. So let's say Reuben passed away. His father was Yaakov. Yaakov gets before, if Reuben has no kids, so Yaakov gets before, you know, Levi Yehuda, Shimon Levi Yehuda. Yochel Yehi Kodim Ben Levat. Maybe father comes number one. Okay, even before the son. Tamalaymar, that's why we have the pasuk HaKarev. HaKarev tells you, HaKarev is Karev Kodim. The closer you are, the higher you are on the priority list. And we assume son, well, he goes before the father. Why? Because, as we're going to see soon, a son has all kinds of halachis, right, when it comes to Yud, Steachuzah, we'll see in a minute, he takes over for his father. And therefore, we learn from here that a son is considered the closest of kin, and he precedes the father. Okay, fine, so that's understood. But, says the Gemara, what about the brother? He also has some sort of element of continuing with his brother. So let brother be number two. It should be brother and then father. Ask the Gemara, Umar Rois, L'Rabbis Esa Ben, L'Rabbis Esa Ach. So at this point, son is number one, then comes father as number two, then comes brother, who is number three. Who's to say? Son comes first, before the others. Perhaps father comes first. Okay? So the pasuk would be read differently. Right? We're going to rearrange, as we said before. We have to rearrange the order. Ish ki yamus, person passes on. It goes to his brothers. He's first. Why brothers first? We'll see in a minute. Because there's an element of closeness found by brothers, not found by the other relatives. There are no brothers, it goes to the son, etc., etc. Says the Gemara, you know why son comes first? Marban is haben, we're going to bump up the son as first priority. Shekein kam tachas of liyado, l'ostei achuza. There are two times in the Torah that we find clearly how a son, we see how he takes over from his father. Number one is yud, if a man purchased a maidservant, an amma ha'ivriya, he can choose to marry her, it's called Yud, basically applying his purchase money for the Kiddushin, and he can offer her to his son as well. So this is something unique to a father and son. Son sort of takes over, he steps into his father's shoes. Ustada Echuza pertains to another halacha, where a person donated his field, his family estate, made it into a hegdish. Now, suppose he himself redeemed it from the hegdish, or his son did so, then it stays in the family. In contrast to where a stranger redeemed it, at that point, we say, come Yovel, the 50th year, goes out to the Kayanim. So, this is something unique to the father and son. Once again, we find that his son has the ability to take over for his father. So, since we find two elements of closeness, so to speak, that are there by a son, we choose to give him high priority for Nachla, for Yerusha as well. It's probable that he is meant to be number one on the list. Adarabba, quite the contrary, says the Gemara, we find an element of closeness by a brother, which is not found by his son. Mar ben Esa'ach, let's bring in the brother and give him high priority over the son, Shekein, because kam tachas achiv liyibum. When it comes to Yibum issues, brother takes over. Right? If a fellow passes away with no kids, his wife now goes to the brother for Yibum. So we see that a brother, in a certain sense, takes over for his brother. That's true closeness. So perhaps when it comes to Yibum as well, he's the first in line. Well, says the Gemara, you're contrasting brother to son and giving brother priority because he has this Yibum advantage. But let's keep in mind, Klum Yesh Yibum Ela B'Makim She'ein Ben. The only reason why you have Yibum in the first place is because there's no son. Klum Yesh Yibum Ela B'Makim She'ein Ben. No Yichus, so to speak, of the brothers because there's no son. That's why Yibum is applicable. Habamakim Shiyesh Ben, if there is a son. He didn't die childless. He left over a son or a daughter. It cancels the whole Yibum, right? You pull the rug out from beneath the brother's feet. Ain Yibum. So basically, you can't consider the Yibum factor as an advantage given to the brother over the son. Because relative to the son, brother has no Yibum access at all. So once we cancel that element of closeness, so to speak, pertaining to the brother, because relative to the son, it's non-existent, so now we're back to square one. Who gets priority? Son, because he has Yud, he has Steachuza, elements of closeness with his father, which denote continuity. Likewise, it's probable that he's the first in line when it comes to Nachla, when it comes to Yerusha as well. Ask the Gemara, why do we need to cancel the Yibum, element of closeness by the brother, using this argument? Tamadika hai pircha. So you're only good because you canceled and you deleted the Yibum element found by the brother. Because relative to the son, it's meaningless. Halav hachi, let's say, but without this argument, let's say brother would still have a Yibum factor. Hava mina would say, ach adif, brother takes priority over son. Why? It's two against one. Tebiklei, in any case, son should still be before the brother because he has two elements of closeness. He has Yud and Steachuza, but brother theoretically only has one Yibum, even if Yibum is a true factor, let's say. But still only one factor versus son who has two. Typically, Dacha Tarti, son has two closeness factors, Yud and Steachuza, Vachacha, the brother only has one Yibum. Says the Gemara. Listen to this. Really? If you look in the Torah, you only find one factor of closeness by son, Yud. It's a pasuk. Dim lebnoi yadena, you could do Yud with the son. The other aspect of closeness, Steachuza, is not a clear pasuk. Actually, it's a whole discussion back over there in the Gemara and Erechin. Does a son have the same privilege as the father, right, upon redeeming the estate? And the Gemara is not sure whether a son has that priority, or maybe the brother has that advantage, meaning if he redeemed his brother's donation. And the Gemara goes back and forth and says, it must be that the son takes over. The son has the ability to carry over because of Yud connection with his father, which a brother doesn't have. And although brother has Yibum, well, Yibum versus son is meaningless, right? So now we're basically 1-0. Well, nothing, right? Son has yud to say for himself, and brother has nothing. And because of that, we choose to give son the stei achuz advantage as well. So it's based on the former equation, that son against brother, son versus brother is one, nothing. Stei achuz, the ability to the reason why we give the son the ability to redeem and have the din of stei achuz, gufa, that in itself, mehai taimuhu dekakai malei letana. It's basically based on this equation that the Tana over there in Erechim considered it true, which is, what do you mean? Brother has yibum, which denotes closeness. And the answer is, versus a son, the brother's position is meaningless. Klum yesh yibum el makom shein ben, the whole point of yibum, if there's no son. Ho yesh ben and yibum, if there's a son, there's no yibum. So you can't consider brother to be higher than son because of the yibum factor. And based on that, we grant a son the schus for the sada achuzah as well. So in total, he has two factors going for him, yud and stei achuzah. But stei achuzah is not a given. The only thing that's a given is yud, it's a pasuk in the Torah. So back to our story. We're comparing son to the brother regarding Yerusha. So the only element of closeness which is clearly articulated in the Torah is yud for a son. And the question is, what do you mean? You forgot. Yibum for a brother. Well, versus a son, relative to a son, Yibum is worthless because the whole Yibum is only an absence of a son. When there is a son around, there's no Yibum. So once we cancel that advantage, once we cancel that element of closeness from the brother, so now we're left with 1-0, 1-0. Son has the Yud versus brother has nothing relative to a son. And Stechuzah cannot, again, Stechuzah cannot be used as part of the equation because that in itself is derived. If this, in fact, is true, that brother is higher than the son is higher than brother because of yud. Okay, let's take a pause because the next stuff will pretty much pick up again on this brisa and continue on explaining the entire list and the order of the Yerusha. So we're at this point where we've discovered the source for a father being Yerush, She'eroi, and we know that he's somewhere up there. He has high priority, but at what point did we insert him into the list? First comes son, daughter, then comes father, and then we have the brothers and the uncles, as we'll see tomorrow. Okay, so in summation, we've started the sugya of Yerusha, of Nachlo, different levels of kurva, of closeness. We have two-way Yerushas, one-way Yerusha, no Yerusha. The reason why the Tana began with Aves Abonim is because the whole concept that a father is Yerush is based on a drasha. And therefore, it's dear to him, which merits to be the opening statement of the Mishnah. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.